Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, hello everyone in Messianic Lamb Radio world. My name is Kennard Levy Brown. I'm your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical and Instructional Program. I like to highlight or underscore the word biblical. This program is all about teaching anyone who listens to this program the Bible. And I'm not the only Torah teacher, but I try to do the best I can to teach people just by using the scriptures. And I really hope that you have the following attitude that is revealed that we all should have in Matthew chapter 18. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples of Talmudim unto Yeshua, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of Yah? In verse 2, and Yeshua called a little child unto him and set him in the middle of him, or in the midst of him, or them. In verse 3, and said, verily I say unto, except you be converted, and conversion is simply coming to the knowledge of the truth, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of Yah. In verse 4 of Matthew chapter 18, it says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself, shall humble himself. And that word means to depress, to humiliate, to bring yourself low. As this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of Yah. And so it's very important to understand that principle. And, you know, there's people that want to be exalted and they want to feel important, and there's nothing really wrong with that. However, you have to have the right attitude and you have to do it the right way. In Luke chapter 18, verse 14, it states, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Now, the context is, let me just read the whole thing here so you'll understand this. The point I'm trying to make here. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, who are the modern day rabbis today, and the other a publican or a tax collector. The rabbi stood and prayed thus with himself, Yah, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican or tax collector. Verse 12, I fast twice in a week. Whoa. I give tithes of all that I possess. Whoa. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Yah, be merciful to me, a sinner. Again, he said, Yah, or Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. What man? The man that asked God for mercy. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so that's very important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. The way to feel important is to humble yourself. The way to be important is to humble yourself, not to do the opposite. This program will be about how to purify our minds. I wanted to call it How to Think Like God Part 4, but I got sick and tired of that, so I'm going to go ahead and perhaps you are getting sick and tired of it too, I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to name it something differently now, How to Purify Your Minds, because if we don't purify our minds, how can we even get to the point of thinking like God? Because, of course, God's mind is pure, and He expects us to be pure or holy or set apart. But first, as I always do on this program, we're going to check out what's going on in this crazy popcorn world. That's the first time I ever said popcorn world. But anyway, all right, Koenig's website, K-O-E as an elephant, N-I-G, World Watch Daily. This is a good website. This website is based on the following scripture. Let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. It states plainly, "Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape." All these things. What things? The things that will occur in the great tribulation that is talked about in the book of Revelation, and Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21. Mark chapter 13, those are all Olivet prophecies, and they have something to add to the total picture of what Yeshua has stated to his Talmudim, who later became his apostles. And so verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." One of the ways we do that, we watch world events. And so these things won't be a surprise to us, as prophesied in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace, they shall say rather peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren," he says that they shall not escape. It didn't say we won't escape, right? "But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not in the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. The majority in the world sleep. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken," and so am I spiritually drunken, and perhaps physically, "are drunk in the night." Yeah, some people can be drunk during the day too. But verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith," or trust, "and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Yeshua Messiah." What is the wrath that he's talking about? Well, let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 18, 16 rather. Actually, verse 15. Revelation 15, verse 1, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled the wrath of God." The wrath of God is simply the seven last plagues. Now, a very interesting prophecy that helps us to understand what the thief of the night is. I know that it represents, and it is correct, what would happen if the priest fell asleep. And his garments would be lit on fire to wake him up. We understand that, but let's pay attention to what the Bible reveals about this as well. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. Actually, 12. Revelation 16, verse 12. "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates," which is located in the area of Iraq today, which is interesting. "And the water, therefore, was dried up at the way of the kings of the east." That's east of Jerusalem. You know where that's located. That can be China and Russia. "Might be prepared." In verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon," out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. In verse 14, for they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of what? The great day of God Almighty, the day of the Lord. Verse 15. Now, an interesting quote or statement is made by Yeshua. He says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. And that alludes, of course, to what happened to the Levite who was supposed to keep guard of the temple, and he fell asleep, and then, of course, his garments were lit on fire. That he walk naked, and they see his shame. Now, he alludes this to this great battle of the day of God Almighty. So, him coming as a thief of the night represents that as well. In verse 16, he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And then, so that is the sixth vial. When he talks about coming as a thief of the night, it can mean that as well, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go back to, so we understand that the wrath that we will avoid is those seven last plagues that will be executed upon the earth. Because remember, that is the sixth vial. Actually, you have three judgments. You have seven seals. The seventh seal initiates the seven trumpets. And then the seventh trumpet initiates the seven plagues or vials. All right. And we will be resurrected at the seventh trump, according to the Bible and what it says. Anyway, that's another Bible study. I think I will do, matter of fact, I will do, God willing, an entire Bible study on the book of Revelation. That was the first book that God opened my mind to understand. And so I would say that's the book that I understand the best out of all the books of the Bible. So anyway, 1 Thessalonians. And so we understand what the wrath, what the thief in the night is in the context of prophecy, and we understand what wrath we're going to avoid. All right, so let's get back to Koenig's website. June 16, 2015, Tropical Storm Bill lashes Texas with heavy rain. It says Tropical Storm Bill would drift, it is hurricane season. Yes, it is. Tropical Storm Bill would drift across Texas with torrential rainfall, renewed concerns for major flooding in the south central states this week. And so we need to pay attention to these hurricanes, ladies and gentlemen. It's certainly been prophesied that we will have hurricanes, quite a few of them, in the areas that are considered Israel in these end times, ladies and gentlemen. And so they are occurring, and we need to pay attention to these things. And Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 19, it says, behold, a whirlwind, and that word whirlwind in the Hebrew means hurricane, of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Perfectly. So we will understand. And the interesting thing about our country, which adds to identifying that we are a part of those 10 lost tribes of Israel, the major bulk of the hurricane season begins in September, October. And that is the time of when the fall feasts occur. And you know the fall feasts certainly represent the judgments of God. So I just thought I would bring that up to you. And this prophecy tells us that we will consider these things occurring, including hurricanes. All right, getting back to tropical storm. So let's pray that God has mercy in the area of Kansas City, Springfield, Oklahoma City, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston. And here's the next article. Obama deliberately made mistakes with Israel. Egyptian court sentences former President Morsi to death. Asteroid Icarus to skim past the Earth in rare distant past. Pope Francis' climate change encyclical leaked 4 days early by Italian magazine Vatican. Official told Bloomberg News that the leak was a heinous act. Okay, so we still have things going on, but nothing that'll make everyone's tongue drop. But I guarantee you, those events will be happening. I just can't tell you when. And it just reminds me about the anticipated ruling of the Supreme Court of allowing the abomination of same-sex marriage in every state. You should not be taking that news lightly, ladies and gentlemen. It appears that it could happen, particularly the fact that this is Gay Pride Month. But if it doesn't happen, this shows you how merciful God really is. But if he allows it to happen, then we need to brace for other curses that will happen in this country. I can't tell you what type of curses, because in the Bible he states the following, that certain curses will come that are not even listed in the book. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then Yahweh will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance. And see, here's an interesting thing that helps you to understand, and this is prophetic. In the sentence where it says, then the Lord, or the Master, will make thy plagues wonderful and the plagues of thy seed. So that's not, it's just not saying them currently there, but also their descendants. Great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Verse 60, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt. You know what those are, right? Just go to the book of Exodus to find out if you don't. Which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, here's the verse I wanted to get to. Verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this Torah, them will the Master bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And that word in the Hebrew, let me take a look at it here, in the Hebrew, means to desolate, to bring to naught, to perish, to pluck down. Verse 62, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou would not obey the voice of the Lord, of the Master, thy Yah. And in verse 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Master rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Master will rejoice over you to destroy you. And see, people don't understand the sixth major doctrine of Yah, which is eternal judgment. He is not playing around, folks. I mean, God can get angry, and his judgment can be more devastating than Satan's persecution. The Master will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whether you go to possess. Of course, that happened with 721 BC, with the 10 tribes being exported by the king of Assyria, and then in 586 BC with the house of Judah being exported by King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shall you serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in a doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night and shall have no assurance of thy life. So this started with those captivities. And then it eventually, we know that the Persian Empire got a hold of them, and then the Greek Empire, and then Rome, and then we have, of course, the Jews scattered around the world, and then we have the 10 tribes scattered around the world too, who most people don't know who they are. But if you listen to this program, and I think even Eddie Chumney knows who they are, he has some articles on his website about who the tribes are. But I would recommend you go to Yair Davidi's website and you educate yourself on who the tribes are. And those tribes consist of the Western nations of the United States, the British Commonwealth of Nations, Canada, the countries of Northwestern Europe. God wants us to know who these nations are, particularly in these end times. I read Genesis chapter 49. He says, Jacob or Yaakov, whose name was changed to Israel, he gathered all his sons together to tell them what would befall them in the latter days, the days before the becoming of the Messiah, his second coming. And also the great prophet Moses prophesied, beginning in Deuteronomy 32, and then he gave a detailed description of each of the characteristics of those 12 tribes in Deuteronomy 33, as Genesis chapter 49 does. What Yerdaviti has done, he has actually put the icing on the cake of what was done through Mr. Allen, J. Allen, the book that he wrote, Joseph's Birthright and Judah's Scepter. You should get that book and read it. And also read it along with The Tribes by Yerdaviti. If you can't afford to get his book, he has a ton of material on his website. His website address is www.bitam.org. Please go to his website. He also has a website called HebrewNations.com or .org. I think it's .com. You can just Google it. And he has all kinds of videos on his YouTube channel as well. His YouTube channel is also called Hebrew Nations. And so I gave you this information because it's important for you. It's one of the characteristics of the end times, the identification of these tribes. And also, without identifying who these tribes are, in particular the United States and the British nations, it would be very difficult for you to understand the Bible, because most people, when they read the Bible, when they see Israel, they just think it's just talking about the Jews. But it's not just talking about the Jews. It's also talking about, in most cases, all the tribes of Israel, including the Jews. And so that's something that needs to be preached more often, the identification of the tribes. Because here's an interesting prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Judah, the Jews, and Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of those tribes. So when you see that phrase, Judah and Jerusalem, it can be talking about all the tribes of Israel in the days of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Verse 2. Now this is important. Listen up. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. So this is a message for the entire universe. For the Master has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner. So let's stop here. And so what he's saying is that an ox knows who his owner is, and he has his master's crib. But he's saying Israel, all the tribes, not just the Jews, don't know who his owner is. My people don't consider, they don't know who the true God is as a whole. That's what he's saying. And then he identifies us in verse 4 as saying, ah, sinful nation, talking about all the tribes, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. Or the Master, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel. Unto anger, they are gone away backward. And so if they're going away backward, they must have been going forward at one time. And then verse 5 says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. John Dinkan correctly in his book, which I suggest you get, The Mystery of the Shemitah, states that Israel is linked with the United States. Now, he has to talk about what I and a few other people talk about as far as the United States being a part of the 12 tribes of Israel, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. But he certainly understands that the United States is linked with the Jews. He understands that. But I don't know if he understands how, or if he does, he doesn't talk about it. But anyway, verse 4. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. And so it states here, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. The head meaning the leaders. Verse 6, From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, which is an interesting scripture because it proves that our medicine should be anointing oil, essential oils, not the pharmakia, which is defined in the book of Revelation. It is translated sorcery, but the Greek for that is pharmakia. That's where we get pharmacy today. Unfortunately, it's going to lead to verse 7 here, unless we repent. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And it is being overthrown by strangers. My wife and I were just looking at a documentary about how China is sucking up all our resources and is tearing our economy apart. We owe trillions of dollars in the trade deficit to the Chinese. And the Chinese, as I'm speaking, are building a reputable army and military armaments. And their overall goal, according to this documentary, is to come and destroy the United States. And so, verse 8, and a daughter of Zion, that's interesting because you have a mother and you have a daughter who's talking prophetically, is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now, here there is hope, verse 9, except the master of hosts have left us unto us a very small remnant, the bride of Messiah, the believers that believe that we should keep the Sabbath and holy days, we are that small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been unto Gomorrah. Now, verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O the master, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the Torah of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And he calls our leaders that, and he calls the people of Gomorrah. And I've went over this again, and I'm going to go over it again as long as I'm able to breathe, that when he talks about us being like Sodom and Gomorrah, he's talking about the following sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, that's the first sin, fullness of bread, we have too much. Second sin, abundance of idleness. That's the third sin, we have extreme laziness. Was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy, was stingy. And they were haughty and committed abomination, which includes sexual abominations. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah is pride, having too much, an overabundance, an abundance of idleness or laziness, not wanting to take care of the poor as we should. Again, being prideful, and then, of course, committing abomination, which certainly can include all the abominations or sexual abominations listed in Leviticus chapter 18, including homosexuality, bestiality, incest, and so forth. And this country, we have a bad habit of committing all those sins, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. And so let's go to the economic collapse, and so we can get into the Bible study here. Are you prepared for the coming economic collapse and the next Great Depression? That's the economiccollapseblog.com. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go right into the Bible study. All the other interesting articles that Mr. Michael Snyder has on his website, I highly suggest that you read these articles before his website and others that reveal the truth are taken down. Okay. So he says right here, we might as well face it. America is addicted to debt. Corporations, individuals, and the federal government continue to rack up debt at a rate that is far faster than the overall rate of economic growth. We are literally drowning in red ink from sea to shining sea. Yeah, remember that? From sea to shining sea. I remember that. And yet, we can't help ourselves. Consumer credit has doubled since the year 2000. Student loan debt has doubled over the course of the past decade. Business debt has doubled since 2006. And of course, the debt of the federal government has doubled since 2007. Anyone that believes that this is sustainable in any way, shape, or form is absolutely, well, I'm going to put absolutely. He didn't put absolutely, but I am. Absolutely crazy. We have accumulated the greatest mountain of debt that the world has ever seen. Again, let me underscore that. We have accumulated the greatest mountain of debt that the world has ever seen. From sea to shining sea. Sad. And yet, despite all of the warnings, we just continue to race forward into financial oblivion. There is no possible way that this is going to end well. Yes, from sea to shining sea. We're going all the way down, ladies and gentlemen, to a sea of debt. And so anyway, we need to pray that God has mercy on this country. And we certainly need to purify our minds. So that's the Bible study. Let's get into it now in the remaining approximately 20 minutes that I have left. Have you ever considered the movie and TV ratings that the Motion Picture Association of America has created? G is supposed to be okay for everyone. That's usually the cartoons that they have and so forth. PG is violence, profanity, brief nudity, not intense. But already when you have P there, has parental guidance, that means that there are some issues. PG-13, some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Violence, nudity, sensuality, language, adult activity, drug use, sexual language. Restricted, under 17, requires accompanying parent or adult guardian, adult themes, adult activity, hard language, intense or persistent violence, sexually orientated nudity, drug abuse, or other elements. NC-17, no one under 17 admitted. Content appropriate only for an adult audience. Violence, sex, terrible behavior, and drug abuse, softcore pornography, and that's simply pornography without showing the organs. X is hardcore pornography. It shows everything. All right, so anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of me going into the descriptive detail of our ratings for movies is to tell you how perverted we have become. The fact that we look at wickedness, and the Bible tells us not to look or even entertain looking at wickedness. Now, of course, we have murders in the Bible. We even have a woman's body being cut up into pieces, 12 pieces. We have some horrendous deaths, David tearing off or cutting off David's head. Not David cutting off his head, but David cutting off Goliath's head. I'm sorry. Cutting off Goliath's head. We have those type of things. But there's a reason why it's recorded in the Bible for us to learn something. Most of the time, with the exception of a few movies, when there's violence in movies, it has no purpose other than to just promote violence and wickedness, if we want to be totally honest with ourselves. And Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, is a good scripture to start this Bible study on how to purify our minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Says the following. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 7. And the peace of God. What's the peace of God? Peace can be defined in based on Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they that love your Torah, and nothing shall cause them to fall or cause them to stumble. And so the peace of God is simply keeping the commandments and keeping the Torah instructions of Yah. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds, your hearts and minds, through Yeshua Messiah. And verse 8, this is a good way to start this Bible study. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, if it has any ethics in it, you know what truth is defined in the Bible is all the instructions and doctrines of Yah, the entire Bible. And so whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, what does that word pure in the Greek means? Clean, innocent, modest. Whatever things are lovely. Lovely means in the Greek acceptable. Whatever things are of good report, that means well spoken of, reputable. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise think on, and that Greek word means take an inventory. Take an inventory. Think on these things. And so those are the things that we need to focus on, not wickedness. Because if you continue to focus on wickedness, you'll eventually do wickedness, right? MTV has perhaps contributed greatly to the destruction of our youth. There's nothing on MTV that I would recommend any adult or teenager or youth look at. It's sad. And I got this information from TV Free, The Awful Truth About Television by Catherine Westfall. And she states, number one, people who watch 3 hours of television per day are twice as likely to be obese than people who watch less than 1 hour per day. Number two, the average U.S. parent spends only 38 minutes per week in meaningful conversation with children versus 31.5 hours a week watching TV. That's sad. Number three, TV viewing in children at ages 1 and 3 is associated with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder symptoms at age 7. Number four, viewing TV violence is the single strongest predictor of aggression later in life, according to a long-term study. So it's telling you in most cases, if you continue to look at something and it's showing somebody's head being blown off or just a tremendous violence, if you keep on looking at that consistently, you will have aggression later on in your life. Number five, children witness 16,000 TV murders by age 18 and a half. Number six, viewers watch an average of 40,000 commercials per year, which is something else. And those commercials, of course, are aimed at kids. Number seven, influence in an estimated $300 billion a year in sales with the NAG factor. So those commercials are aimed at kids to try to influence them to buy their services and products. Particularly their products. Number eight, students who watch an hour of TV per day or less scored the best on achievement tests. Let me underscore that for any youth that are listening to this. Students, and you know, I'm still a student myself, so students who watch an hour of TV per day or less scored the best on achievement tests. TV is addictive. Number nine and number 10, the average American watches 4 hours and 35 minutes of TV per day. There is simply so much else to do in life, and I would totally agree. And I don't know if this website works or not, but if you want to go there, it's trashyourtv.com/survey. Most people can't get rid of their television. I can take it or leave it. I can care less about television. There's so many other things to do with your time and waste your time looking at television. And I'm talking about looking at television 3-4 hours, like 1 hour, that's nothing. But, you know, 3 or 4 hours, that's just totally ridiculous. You can do other things. All right, so let's look at some key scriptures here that will show us how we can purify our minds, ladies and gentlemen. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Just give you an example of how many Americans, and perhaps some of you, may waste your time looking at television. If you're looking at 3 or 4 hours of television and it's about shooting up somebody, that you got to find something else to do. Proverbs 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. They're pleasant words. And so it says the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Now, What you need to understand is that we are what we think. And if we're thinking wicked thoughts, we're going to be wicked. Plain and simple as that. Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought of the foolish is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Talking about somebody, and you don't have any right talking about somebody, the authority figure is the one in any organization that has a right to know about something that's going on, you should go to that leader. And if you're scorning somebody, and actually this is not slander, it's scorner. Sorry about that. Scorner in Hebrew means to make mouths at. It's still a tongue problem. and mocking people. You shouldn't be doing that. It's an abomination. And so even the thought of foolishness is sin, or silliness. That's what it means in the Hebrew, silliness. And, you know, Yeshua, I may have quoted this scripture last week, Yeshua stated the following, Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, stated the following here, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, they defile the man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. And that word in the Greek is porneia, which we would get our modern English word pornography. Thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And so we got to get and weed those thoughts out of our minds. That's the only way we'll be able to overcome wickedness. I think I've quoted some of these scriptures already. Let me get to some other scriptures I have not quoted yet. James chapter 1, I'm talking about last week's program. And I'm going to quote this again. This is a good scripture. James 1, verse 27. Not 27, but 21. James 1, or Yaakov 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so the word of God, let me read this in the Amplified Version for clarity. Say, Yaakov 1, verse 21, and James 1, verse 21. Get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. Again, in John 6, verse 63, Yeshua stated that the words that I speak are life and are of spirit. And so we have to welcome the word and plant it in our minds. And it contains the power to save us, ladies and gentlemen. God's word does. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. I'm going to continue to use the Amplified Version here. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And this is how you purify your minds, by not being around wickedness. Do not make mismated alliances with them, or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness, or Torahlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? It's impossible. What harmony can there be between the Messiah and Belial, or the devil, or Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living Yah, even as Yah said, I will dwell in them and with among them, and will walk in and with and among them. He says, I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so in verse 17, it commands us, so come out from among unbelievers and separate, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor. In verse 18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And so he wants us to be pure. He wants us to come out from allowing ourselves to be in a wicked environment. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the fear of God. So we have to separate ourselves from that, ladies and gentlemen. How else can we purify our minds? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, states the following. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the full knowledge of the Messiah, Yeshua, they again become entangled with them and are overcome, their last condition is worse than the first. So this, I'm quoting this scripture because it tells you that the world is polluted, ladies and gentlemen. It's polluted with wickedness. It's polluted with wickedness, and we have to come out of that. Let's quote another scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says, you were bought with a price, purchased with a precious and paid for, made his own. Yeshua, he paid the bride price for us by allowing his life to terminate. So then, honor Yah and bring glory to Him in your body. So part of glorifying our bodies, ladies and gentlemen, is purifying our minds. Because it certainly is a part, our brain is a part of our bodies. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It's one of a popular scripture I like to quote. Verse 22 says, since by your obedience to the truth through the Holy Spirit, you have purified your minds or hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren. See that you love one another fervently from a pure heart. So we purify our minds by obeying the truth. What is the truth? It's the Torah, the doctrines and teachings of Yah. Psalm 119, 142. That's how we purify our minds. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of Yah. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, acknowledge Him, which is an interesting Bible study. Why is it that the world doesn't recognize Him? Well, there's a reason. I'll talk about that in a future broadcast. 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, we are, even here and now, Yah's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear, what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when He comes and is manifested, we shall resemble Him and be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, this is one way that we can purify ourselves. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, if you hope in being like Him and looking like Him and being glorified like Him, you will purify your mind. On Him, He cleanses Himself as He is pure, chaste, guiltless. So think about those things. That's what will purify your mind, ladies and gentlemen. Thinking about that wonderful transformation from a human being to a spirit being. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Well, whoever says he abides in Him ought, as a personal debt, walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. It should even get to a point where you are thinking just like Him. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 states the following. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Master, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Messiah and do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of His mind. And so that's important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. And so, to be able to purify our minds, we have to not look at wicked things. We must study the Bible like our life depends on it, because you know what? It does. And we have to walk like Him and do what the Messiah says, and so that we will eventually start thinking like Him and having what 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 plainly states, we will have His mind. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, there's more, and I will pick up on a few other scriptures next week about this. May Yah bless and keep you. And Yah willing, I'll be available to you next week. Shalom. Peace.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Welcome to...
Give ear to my speech, all your way. Consider my utterance. Heed the sound of my cry, my King and God, for I pray to you. Hear my voice, O Yahweh, at daybreak. At daybreak I plead before you, and wait. You are not a God who desires wickedness. Evil cannot abide with you. Wanton men cannot endure in your sight. You detest all evildoers. You doom those who speak lies. Murderous, deceitful men, Yahweh abhors them. But I, through your abundant love, enter your house. I bow down in awe at your holy temple. O Yahweh, lead me along your righteous path because of my watchful foes. Make your way straight before me. For there is no sincerity on their lips. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open...
Malachi chapter 4.
for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Clearing in the brighter day.